Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we said last week, these weeks leading up to our celebration of Jesus' ascension focus on his words spoken in the upper room to his disciples before they headed out to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's preparing them and us for these years, for these centuries leading up to his return to earth for judgment. And the greatest help that he provides to his church during this age is the help of the Holy Spirit, or as he was called in the King James Bible, the Holy Ghost. People today think very wrongly of the Holy Spirit as a feeling that moves through the building and maybe moves through your heart. They think of the Holy Spirit as a divine whisper in the ear or a burden on the heart. Or people think that the role of the Holy Spirit is to enable people to speak in tongues or perform other miraculous signs. But the role of the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, has nothing to do with those former feelings moving through a room or through your heart, and very little to do with those latter signs. At first, on the day of Pentecost, and at various times during the days of the apostles, the Spirit's presence was accompanied with mighty outward signs of his presence. But those signs were never his primary work. Jesus talks about two of the main works of the Holy Spirit in today's gospel, and these works continue throughout this New Testament period. They're vital for the church in this world. There is a work Jesus talks about here that the Spirit does toward the world, and there is a work that he does toward the Christian. And both revolve around truth-telling. Because the Spirit of truth, as Jesus calls him here in our gospel, is the true truth-teller. Jesus begins by comforting his disciples in the gospel. They were sad to hear that he would soon be going away. They were sad about his going to the Father, which they didn't understand what it meant at that time. He was talking about his ascension into heaven following his resurrection from the dead. His ascension would take place in just 43 days from that Maundy Thursday evening. And the disciples were sad, but he assures them, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Here we run across that title of the Holy Spirit that Jesus uses for him a few times in John's Gospel. The Paraclete is the English transliteration of the Greek word. It means a lot of things. It means helper, it means intercessor, or advocate, or comforter. It has all those connotations. It can even have the sense of advocate as in the sense of attorney, like an attorney in a courtroom. And that's essentially the work Jesus describes in the next few verses. The Holy Spirit is like an attorney representing Jesus' disciples, the Holy Christian Church, like a prosecuting attorney who makes his case against the unbelieving world. When he comes, he will convict the world regarding sin and regarding righteousness and regarding judgment. Regarding sin, because they do not believe in me. Regarding righteousness, because I go to my Father and you will not see me any longer. Regarding judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The word convict in these verses means to speak the truth against someone, to speak the truth, revealing the crimes that someone has committed. And that's what the Holy Spirit does toward the unbelieving world. Not as a voice calling down from heaven and convicting people, but through the preaching of God's word that is carried out in the world. Just as in the Old Testament, it says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets, so he continues to do, speaking through the preaching of his word, working through it, speaking the truth, whether the world accepts it as truth or not. He will convict the world regarding sin because they do not believe in me. The truth-telling spirit speaks the truth against the world concerning their sins because people deny their sinfulness before God. They refuse to accept God's judgment about what is right and what is wrong. And so the Spirit of truth comes along and reveals the sins of the world, the sins that the world refuses to recognize, the sin of worshiping false gods or of worshiping no God at all, like the atheists, the sin of making up your own religion and your own truth, the sin of bad-mouthing other people and harming their reputation, the sin of lying, the sin of coveting what doesn't belong to you, thinking that it really should, and all the sexual sins that the world indulges in and doesn't think is sinful at all. But the greatest sin revealed by the Holy Spirit is to not believe in Jesus as the Christ and as the Savior of the world. It's the greatest sin because Jesus is the Father's greatest gift to mankind. Because when a person repents of his sins and believes in the Lord Jesus, all his grievous sins are washed away from God's record keeping. But where there is no repentance and faith in Christ, then all a person's sins are still charged to his or her account. And there will be no escaping the truth on the day of judgment. He will convict the world regarding righteousness because I go to my Father and you will not see me any longer. The truth-telling spirit will speak the truth against the world concerning righteousness because the world does not know what true righteousness is. People have their own ideas of righteousness. All the people fighting for the climate or fighting for a woman's right to have an abortion or fighting for illegal immigration or defending homosexuality or drag queen shows or engaging in angry, violent protests, as we've seen this week. All these people think their causes are righteous, and therefore they think they are righteous. But they aren't, not according to God's Spirit. Or take just your average people of the world who do the best they can in the world. They work hard. They don't bother anyone. They take care of their families. And many think that they're righteous before God because of that. But the truth revealed by the Holy Spirit is that true righteousness, the kind that God recognizes, begins with worshiping the true God and serving Him only, fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things. It continues with the honoring of His word and the preaching of His word. True righteousness then continues with loving your neighbor, but loving your neighbor as God defines love. True righteousness is wrapped up in Jesus Christ, who is called the righteous one in Scripture. It isn't to be found in anyone else, including ourselves. It's to be found in Jesus, whom we don't see because he has gone to the Father, but whose ministry is still offered to us in word and sacrament. Here is righteousness and the forgiveness of sins in the gospel of Christ crucified, risen, and ascended into heaven. But the world won't seek God's righteousness here where he offers it. And so the Spirit of truth speaks against the world's idea of righteousness. He will convict the world regarding judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The truth-telling Spirit will speak the truth against the world when it comes to judgment. Not only do people claim that their sins aren't really sins, not only do they claim to be righteous when they aren't, but they also try to convince themselves that they won't have to face God's judgment in the end, that there is no divine judgment. There is only the here and now, they think. But the prince of the here and now, that is, the devil, is already judged, Jesus says. And God's judgment will come upon this world, and each individual will face God's judgment when we die. If you're found at the judgment to be on the side of the prince of this world, on the side of the devil, then you will share in his fate. But if you're found to be taking refuge by faith in Christ Jesus, then you will stand in the judgment, and you'll share in the victory of Christ the King. Now, all of that will be going on during this New Testament period, that work of the Holy Spirit revealing the truth to the world about the futility of unbelief. The world has tried and will try to silence that truth, to not let it be spoken, to not let it be heard. But the Holy Spirit will see to it that the truth is told, no matter what. The other work of the Holy Spirit highlighted here by Jesus in this text is his work among the Christians themselves. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that he will speak, and he will reveal to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and proclaim it to you. That work of the Holy Spirit was first fulfilled among the apostles themselves, to whom Jesus was directly speaking in our gospel. The speaking that Jesus refers to here, again, isn't an audible kind of speaking as if he's speaking into their ears, but the speaking of opening their minds and hearts to help them to understand the true meaning of the Old Testament prophecies and of the words and teachings of Jesus himself, allowing them to preach and teach and eventually to write down in the Gospels and epistles of the New Testament not their own ideas about what it all meant, but the truth of what it all meant. The truth-telling Spirit would guide them into all truth. Now, the Holy Spirit still carries on that work in the hearts and minds of Christians, helping us to understand the Word of God and the teachings of Jesus revealed in it, to hear the truth and to recognize it as truth. But notice the Spirit's focus. Jesus says, he will glorify me. The Spirit isn't out there giving random guidance about your life or about the future. He's guiding us to know Jesus rightly and so to glorify him in truth. That's one way you can tell that the modern Pentecostal teachers are false teachers, because they put so much emphasis on the Holy Spirit and the signs that he supposedly does among them, that Jesus becomes almost an afterthought in their theology and preaching. That does not bring glory to Jesus. It's also how you can tell that all these modern Christians going on and on about modern Israel as God's chosen people are following a false spirit and not God's Holy Spirit. It brings no glory to Jesus to express Christian solidarity with a nation that rejects Jesus and his word, not speaking politically, but as Christians. On the contrary, such teachings rob Christ of his glory and mislead countless Christians to minimize Jesus and to support unbelief and earthly mindedness instead. But if we rely on the truth that the Holy Spirit has already told, the truth recorded in Holy Scripture, then we will not be so easily misled with the guidance of a false spirit. The better we know the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, the better we'll be able to recognize and follow the guidance of the Spirit of God. There are other works of the Holy Spirit that we'll be talking about over the coming weeks, but for today, give thanks to the Lord Jesus for sending the Spirit, and for these two works in particular of the truth-telling helper. First, for his truth-telling against the unbelieving world, which is the enemy of Christians. Now, how do we deal with this enemy? Not with hatred, not with anger, certainly not with violence, but by relying on the word and power of God, the Holy Spirit, who enables us to speak the truth in love and who will see to it that the truth is heard, if not always believed. And second, give thanks for the Spirit's truth-telling among us, guiding us to recognize which teachings are true and which teachings aren't. We will face many challenges in these days leading up to Christ's return, challenges from the unbelieving world, and challenges in understanding God's word rightly amid all the false teachings and unbelief surrounding us. But we will also have the continual presence of God's Holy Spirit, the helper promised by Jesus. Rely on his help and give thanks for it, because the truth will prevail in the end. God will see to it. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.